Hello, everyone, and welcome to Monday night's segment of Horsefly Chronicles Radio with myself, Julia Syracusa, and Phyllis Syracusa. We're broadcasting live from the International Public Radio and the United Paranormal Radio Network on 105.3 FM from New Orleans. This evening's show is fully sponsored by Carnation, so we want to thank them for their sponsorship. We love them. You'll have to do a few things in order to participate. Go over to the YouTube channel on UFO Paranormal Radio or International Public Radio. You can also go into all of the Facebook stations, UFO Paranormal Radio Network, UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo, News on the Flip Side, also Twitch, SoundCloud, and Podbean. Also go over to our group, Horsefly Chronicles Radio, and join our group if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for our guests, please ask. So tonight, guys, we have an amazing guest. Please welcome Sophia Tamberelli to the show. Sophia is a 22-year-old paranormal investigator and a radio host. She started investigating the paranormal at the age of 8 after going on a ghost tour on the Queen Mary and falling in love with the field. She has also lived in a haunted house, and what she has experienced there changed her life forever. By the age of 12, Sophia decided to start her own podcast, The Ghost Host, on liveparanormal.com. She has interviewed some of the most renowned people in the field of the paranormal, including us, and she is such a sweet girl and an amazing host. You can see her show every Saturday on liveparanormal.com. That's at 12 p.m. PST and 3 p.m. EST. So please welcome Sophia to the show.
Welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on today, and it's great to see you both.
Thank
Yeah, it's been a
you.
long time, many years.
And you look so nice.
Thank you. Well, I really appreciate you both having me on today. It's always been great interviewing you both in the past, so
Oh,
it's good
thank
to
you.
talk to you
Thank you. You
again.
have a great show.
Yes, you
I
do.
believe I was on her show in 2015. It's
Yes.
been a while.
And we were on, I think, maybe like 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago. I think Threefold was on. So
Yeah.
very good. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a while. We'll have to have you both back on soon.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Time's going
My
fast.
pen. Okay, so Sophia, why don't you take us to the beginning of your story? How did you become so involved in paranormal at such a young age?
Yeah, so I mean, I've always had an interest in, like Halloween, and my favorite show when I was younger was Scooby-Doo. So I've just always kind of had an interest in this stuff. And my parents kind of have too. When they were dating, they really loved the show, The X-Files and Sightings, specifically the psychic on there, Peter James. So for their 10-year wedding anniversary, they were like, let's do something different. Let's go on a ghost tour. So my mom was looking at ghost tours on the Queen Mary, which was very close to our old house. And she saw that Peter was actually running the tours there. So she said, okay, let's go. And they went on the tour, and for some reason I just got really jealous, and I was like, why was I not invited? Why can't I go? And they're like, I guess, yeah, we could take you. So they contacted Peter and said, is this safe for our 8-year-old daughter to go on? And he said, yes, there's over 500 ghosts on the ship. All of them are my friends. We'll have her call out to the little ghost girl, Jackie. And yeah, I just fell in love with the field, and I've been in it ever since. And about a year after that, we realized our house was haunted.
Oh.
Wow. That was Peter Jennings.
Yes.
Yes.
Sightings, right? That was a good show.
Yeah, my parents loved watching it when they were dating. I've
I
never
used to
seen
watch that back. That was like the
it.
90s, I believe.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
was cool. That's what it was. Sightings.
Sightings. That was a good show. So, what did you, at a young age, you personally encounter on the Queen Mary?
So the first time I went there, I actually believe I saw the ghost of, well, Peter believed I saw the ghost of Captain Stark. We were in the Sir Winston's restaurant, and I kind of saw this face in the window, and they had this like fabric behind where we were sitting, and I thought maybe it was kind of reflecting that, but it was only in one part of the window. So I told my mom later on, and she told Peter, and he believed I had seen the ghost of Captain Stark there. So that was my first experience there, but I mean, I've had so many other experiences since, hearing voices near the propeller box and the engine room. I mean, there's definitely a shadow man that I see every time I'm in the pool area, and he's one of the most intense spirits I've ever met in my life. I investigated there with Ghost Adventures. We got some incredible EVPs. So yeah, I mean, it's just kind of a nice variety of evidence we've captured throughout the years.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about the Queen Mary.
Oh yeah.
Maybe we'll get to go one day.
Maybe.
Where is the Queen Mary? Or no.
It's in Long Beach, California. Yeah.
Oh, I'll
Yeah.
put that on my bucket list.
No, Phil doesn't like to fly, so
We could
yeah.
drive.
Yeah, we could try with all the
It's a
kids.
great location. You would have a lot of fun there. I mean, you never know what you're going to capture. Like you said, by the propeller box, you can hear voices,
Yeah.
more specifically, actually whistling. In the engine room, you can hear someone talking, but you can't exactly make out what they're saying. In the pool area, I mean, it sounds like it might be overhyped, but it is truly, it lives up to that hype. It is so active in there.
Wow.
You know, knowing what you know today, right? And you were there when you were young. Do you think that that's residual, a residual haunting, or is it an active haunting in real time?
I think it's a mixture of both. I mean, the whistling could be residual because you hear it, but I mean, there's not talking other than that. And then, the shadow man in the pool area, I definitely think he's an intelligent, active haunting. And he definitely just doesn't like people. So I
Yeah.
think it's a mixture of just all over. I mean, you have to remember the ship is close to 100 years old, 85 years old, and since it set sail, people have died on there since before it even set sail, workers being sealed into the steel. And then it was a cruise liner. It sailed in World War II. So, I mean, there's so much history and activity that there's no reason to believe that you wouldn't have residual all over the ship, but also just so much intelligent hauntings. I mean, the most recent death was about 6 or 7 years ago.
Wow. Oh, yeah, definitely.
You say the shadow man. What's the shadow man to you?
Well, to me, I don't exactly know who he is, but I've seen him since I was little. He kind of just lurks in the dressing room area, and he just stands there staring. He's a very intense, kind of foreboding figure. And I normally the pool area, if you've ever been there, for people who haven't, it always has low lighting. It's never completely dark. But the night I investigated with Ghost Adventures, they of course went lights out, and it was the first time I had been in there with the lights fully out. And when I say that the Shadow Man got so much stronger, I mean, it was crazy. I felt him in multiple places at once, and in one area, which was the upper right-hand balcony of the pool area, I felt him kind of leaning over, watching us. And Zach was up there trying to get some EVPs and investigate. I think he had the X Connect. He actually got rushed by a ghost, and my mom heard the footsteps running at him.
Wow.
You know, I think it's fascinating. Now, I've been doing radio for a long time, interviewing. I was interviewed on many, many shows, and I cannot tell you that almost every single show I hear about the Shadow Man. And ironically, we live in a haunted house, and there's the Shadow Man. And I always question, is it one particular Shadow Man, or are
Sure.
these interdimensional beings that appear as shadow people on the other side? Because you're right, they are very intelligent.
I mean, I think I don't exactly know who or what he is. I think he's just kind of a rude individual. I think that's just kind of what he does. I can't say if he's at other locations. You really don't experience him. I know some people have had experiences with him in the boiler room, but he really doesn't go around other parts of the ship. He kind of stays in these like dark or low lit rooms. Even the Royal Theater, I mean, when that's dark, he's not in there. So he kind of just stays to his one area and doesn't really go out of that.
Have any EVPs been recorded with him?
Yeah, I mean, I at least believe that he was the spirit talking in the EVPs we got on Ghost Adventures, and he was really angry. He said some words that, I mean,
Body
he can't really
words.
repeat. Yeah. So he was definitely not happy, and they were very, very clear EVPs. I mean, the type of EVPs you dream of getting or wanting, and he was just not happy. Some people, or I don't know, I wasn't there, but Peter actually heard a kind of a growling noise in the I don't know what room of the ship he was in, but way back when he filmed in the 90s. So I mean, you have kind of these correlations, and I don't think it's a coincidence that he's been, you have growling back in the 90s and then this very angry figure in present day.
Very interesting.
Amazing.
Right?
You know, I wanna talk about your haunted house that you lived in. And you don't live there anymore, correct?
No, thankfully.
What age were you when you moved in there, and what kind of things happened?
I mean, I had lived there from the day I was brought home from the hospital. My dad, he's adopted, but his father was paranoid schizophrenic, so he moved out at the age of 9. But my dad had also, from the day he was brought home from the adoption agency, had lived in this home. And then when he was at the age of 9, he moved out. And after my grandfather died, he was not the spirit haunting it. I do just want to say that. My dad moved back in with my mom, and yeah, I had lived there all those years. I think I had had experiences from a time, you know, I can't remember, and little things looking back, kind of we realized, you know, there were some signs that our house was haunted, but we never considered it. And then when I was about 9, I just felt like I was being watched constantly, just everywhere I went, and it was really unnerving. But I wasn't really sure what to think about it. I hadn't seen anything or heard anything. And one day I was in my parents' bedroom and I saw a man in my mom's closet. And obviously, no one should be in there. So I told my mom and I was like, "Hey, mom, there's a man in your closet." She's like, "Okay." You know, she didn't want to tell me I was wrong. She's never done that. She didn't know what to think though, because we had not had experiences prior to that. At least we thought we
Oh,
didn't.
okay. So they never had any experience. That was my question
I
too.
mean, looking back, they did have experiences, but they didn't occur to them at that point in time. And my dad, who wrote a book for a psychic, you think he'd be like, "Wow, that's really interesting. I believe you." No, he said, "No, you're imagining it." So he was really helpful through it. I mean, the ghost
Why
was.
did you do that? My parents did the same thing to me, but they knew.
Yeah, I mean, I just. He just like if another kid told him, he'd be like, "Wow, so when did you start experiencing it?" Since it was me, he was like, "Oh, you're making it up." I'm like, "Oh, great, thanks." But my mom, she never told me I was wrong, nothing. And one day she was putting on her makeup and her vanity, and she heard three knocks from the inside of her closet door. Now, obviously, no one should be in there. And so she grabbed a recorder and we caught some EVPs, and that's when my dad was like, "Oh, she was telling the truth. That's cool." And the activity really progressed from there. But it was just kind of something that, looking back, we noticed little things like when I was really young, I don't remember this, but my parents do. I would stand with my back against the garage door, the entrance into the garage, and I would be frozen. I wouldn't move, nothing. My mom would call me, nothing. She would actually have to come and touch my hand for me to actually move. And I think I was probably seeing something, but I don't remember what. And I always, you know, had a hard time falling asleep. I had this picture of Drew Barrymore because I loved Charlie's Angels when I was younger. And my parents got me an autographed photo. So you would think that would be the most exciting thing to happen to me. And I was like, "Please make it go away. She's staring at me." And I think looking back, it was me seeing the eyes in the picture and correlating it with actually being watched by a spirit. And then another time, my mom had actually had a piece of metal thrown at her back from 6 feet away, and my dad saw it fly off of the windowsill and hit her. And back then, my parents said, because it was New Year's night, my grandfather died, and my grandma went out for the first time and was dancing with her friends, and my mom thought it was just my grandpa saying, "Hey, don't encourage her to do that. That's my wife." But looking back, like, no, that was not my grandfather at all. And yeah, just other things, you know, the ghost was focused on females. So my mom's female friends, after we realized it was haunted, said, "Your house always made me uncomfortable when we were watching it. Like, it was always uncomfortable." But of course, no one's going to tell you, "Hey, your house creeps me out." So it's like the little things looking back that kind of started to add up that could easily be brushed off before.
That's interesting.
What do you make out of that?
She's got a lot going on. And she's right, you know, sometimes there's a target, whether, you know, the ghost
They
is
like
there, you know, like
female.
females. I can't explain it. I just can't explain it. But ironically, that is some of the things that does, you know, I've heard of it. And let's talk about dreams. Because, you know, paranormal field and experiments and trying to communicate with the other side, I'm a firm believer that sometimes the spirit wants to come through when you're in your deepest meditative state, which is the dream state. So after an investigation or living in the haunted location or after the Queen Mary investigation, has any of these spirits or people that you have never seen before in this lifetime come into a dream?
I would say I'm not really sure. I know I had really bad nightmares when I was younger. Like I said, before we realized the house was haunted, they were always repetitive. So I think that it could have possibly been the spirit messing with me. I mean, I was like a 3 or 4 year old, and I just constantly had like these nightmares, and they were always the same ones over and over again, like 2 or 3, just always like kind of in cycle and repeat. And I don't think that's really normal. So I feel like it could have been the spirit just picking on me because, you know, I was the main focus of that ghost. I was basically stalked by him. I couldn't go anywhere without him watching me. He watched me sleep. And it got to the point that my parents actually stopped having me sleep in my own bedroom because he had gotten so close. I mean, it was like, you know, your home is where you should feel the safest. And for me, it was torture every single day.
Wow, that's so sad.
That's
It's
interesting.
really sad how they target
Back in
little
the
kids.
it is interesting because back in the 90s, me and my friends went to this one cemetery on Staten Island that you really couldn't get to unless you like hopped the gate and cut a hole in another gate. And it was a huge cemetery only for the rich. But we went there just to hang out and all that stuff. We were on this one, actually his name was Vanderbilt, one of the richest men in the world. And the mausoleum was to die for, was just to die for. Incredible. But what I'm trying to get at is after that, up until a few years ago, every once in a while, I'm put back into the dream state of the same group of friends at the same age. And he's like, "Don't you want to play?" In the dream.
Wow.
Yeah, but you don't see him. And I'm always like, why are we back in the same dream again?
That's crazy. I didn't
You
know that.
know? And yeah, and it's like the spirit saying, "Okay, now we can play on my terms."
Well, that's really crazy. I mean, you experienced that. For me, it was just, you know, I think like we had a metal knight in our kind of dining room area. And I would always have dreams like, you know, he'd come off his stand and we would go hang out and have fun. And he was like my friend. And then other nights I would have dreams where he'd come off his stand and try and kill me with his sword. So, I mean, as a 3 year old, I don't think that's some, like really what I should be dreaming about. So I think it was kind of just like a little bit of mind games. I can't say for certain that it was the ghost, but I think since it was repetitive dreams like that, I can't rule it out either.
Yeah, and when you did leave that house, do you think anything followed you?
No, thankfully. I think he stayed at the house. I mean, even when we had moved out, one of the neighbors, we lived on kind of a busy street. So when we did live there, sometimes homeless people would try and hop our fence. And after we moved out, one of the neighbors had seen a man hop our fence. So he was like, no. So he ran to go stop this man, and there was absolutely no one there.
Wow. That's scary.
Yeah, and during the time too that my grandfather had lived in the house while he was mentally ill, he was a ward of the county, and the county did not take very good care of their wards back in that time, which was the 90s. So he basically had homeless people living in the home with him, coming in and out, taking his stuff. I mean, he died without like electricity or anything in the house. So there was really a period of time that was kind of undocumented. So we don't know what happened during that time. And I mean, I don't know. It could be the spirit of someone who lived there during that time, or I am
That's
just
what it
don't
sounds
know.
like. It sounds like someone who died there and just was not a very nice person.
Yeah, I mean, he watched my mom sleep. My cousin one time, we had a mattress on my floor because my room was getting redone, so my cousin was staying over. And she was sleeping in my room with me next to her, and she actually saw like full body a man standing over us watching us sleep, and she was super freaked out, so of course she grabbed me. I was asleep, but she saw him, and she fully saw him like as if it was a real person. By the time she blinked, he was gone. And no
Wow.
one had told her about the ghost watching us or what he looked like. So it was really strange.
Yeah, that is out there. But In the paranormal and supernatural, this is what we get. I mean,
Yep. Nothing ever make nothing ever makes any
no,
sense.
it doesn't,
Never.
but it
Doesn't make
happens.
sense.
As a paranormal investigator, has anyone from the other side that's a loved one, great grandmother or distant uncle, cousin, relative, or a friend who's crossed over and ever say, you know what, she knows how to communicate with us and try to communicate with you?
I can't really say about that happen. I mean, I really haven't had too many, thankfully, close family members or friends pass away. So I haven't really had any family members that I would say would come and visit me. I know before I was born, my parents were talking to someone. I don't know who they were talking to, but someone said that they saw my dad's adoptive father standing at their doorway holding a baby girl.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
So, I mean, I guess that would probably come through because I know my grandfather really did love my dad a lot. So he would have been really excited if he had gotten to meet me,
Wow.
before, his mental illness kind of took over.
Wow.
I have a question. So you, as you said, you've been in the field for half your life. What advice can you give very young children about getting involved in the paranormal?
I mean that's really a hard question. I did start at a very young age, but I think for, kind of just the parents, they should really kind of assess, if their kid is ready for that. Because I think sometimes even teenagers or young adults too, I mean, really the commitment to be respectful and also take precautions, don't take a child into somewhere that there would be harmful spirits or, put your child in danger because a lot of the, abandoned locations, they're not physically sound. So I think it's really not so much for the children, but the parents to just really kind of assess the situation. Don't tell your kid they're wrong for having an interest, because some kids have experiences. I had experiences from before I could remember, and I think that kind of shaped my interest from the time I was more conscious. And I think that happens to a lot of kids. So just kind of nurture their interests in a safe way and also assess if they're ready for it, so they're respectful to the spirits around them, but also, not putting themselves in any danger either.
I would agree with you. Yes, definitely. And what you said was right. We definitely have to take our kids seriously, especially now that the paranormal is so strong. I mean, I don't know, since the pandemic, we have it's been you just feel more open. A lot of people are starting to open up right now.
Yeah, and I feel like for the kids too, just make sure you're ready. Don't just see stuff on TV and say, you want to do it, but like actually decide if this is something you want to go into. And if you do, just start off simple, try EVP recorders or K2 meters. Don't try and get like the most expensive equipment because it doesn't always work like that.
No. Speaking of equipment, what do you like to use? What is your favorite piece of equipment when
I
you're out
mean, it
there?
sounds really basic, but I love using the Ghost Radar app because it's just so easy to use, and I've actually gotten really good responses off of it. I do use the dowsing rods occasionally. I kind of have like a method with that, and yeah, I mean, I just kind of like K2 meters. I think it's just like really easy to use because I don't like carrying a ton of stuff.
Yeah. I know. What's the name of that app? What's the name of that app again?
Ghost
That you
Radar.
say? Ghost Radar.
I heard of
Ghost
that.
Radar.
Yeah.
I'm gonna write that down. Interesting.
I mean, you can use anything to communicate with the other side. Like, you don't have to buy
Right. It's
expensive
the
equipment. It could be the
yeah.
most simplest things,
It's the
right?
intent. Like you can go in there with a flashlight and you never know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, I think that's the fun of investigating too, just like not knowing what you're going to get. I mean, it's really just you're just so unsure. I mean, whether you live in a house and don't know for 9 years that it's haunted, or just going out and investigating, and one day you catch an EVP, but the next day you see an apparition or absolutely get nothing.
Yeah, sometimes there's nothing there. You'll get nothing. They're probably out shopping or something.
I
I
mean,
mean, I usually tell the ghost around here, do something, help out,
yeah,
you
like
know? You're not gonna
clean,
pay me any
do the
bills, so
dishes.
clean up a little bit.
Yeah, it's actually really ironic. The EVP my mom got, you would think that the ghost was really helpful. He wasn't. He was just creepy and mean. But she had pulled out the EVP recorder and she said, "Is like anyone here with us?" And then she just started talking to my cousin. And you actually hear the ghost say, "I'll help you put these lights up," which wouldn't make sense normally unless you knew she had a kind of like a chandelier thing for her vanity that had been sitting there for a couple of years because she didn't know how to install it.
Wow, that's
Oh
crazy.
Yeah, the
And
creepy
you
ghost was
get.
tired of seeing it too.
Oh my God.
That's
That's
funny.
funny.
As a paranormal investigator, what's your view on death?
I mean, I think it's always hard when someone passes on, even as an investigator or not. So I think, even wanting to find out questions about the afterlife doesn't necessarily make loss any easier. But as for the afterlife itself, I kind of came up with my own kind of theory on it in Catholic school. I went to Catholic school from kindergarten to eighth grade. And I was sitting in religion class one day, in I think eighth grade, and they were talking about purgatory. And it got me thinking, why don't we see ghosts from, Neanderthal times or when they were building the pyramids? Obviously, I haven't been to Egypt, so I can't really verify that. Or the 1300s or anything like that. I mean, it feels like they must disappear at some point. Is it because they don't have anyone they're connected to anymore and decide to go somewhere else or stay dormant? But I would feel like they would still want to communicate. There's just no evidence of that, at least that I've seen. So I feel like if they're in a purgatory, after a certain time, they move on to whatever the next step is. I'm not sure what that is, but I think, not seeing the older ghosts leads me to believe there's some point where there's like a transference.
You know, that's interesting. I always bring that up on shows. Where's the dinosaurs? The apparitions of a dinosaur, or things that like existed way back in the day and not here anymore. We don't capture them. We only capture things that we can perceive to be real within our own reality, right? People from the 1800s, the 1700s, but we don't capture the odd things. I have never met anyone who's, caught in things that, like you said, from Egypt, and that's interesting, right? So do they move on to another plane of existence with their energy after a certain amount of time? But then there is no time because we make up time, right? Spirits, there is no time on that side. So it is interesting. I believe in ghosts, obviously, but I can't explain that. And no one can that I've had
It's
on my
really,
show.
it's very difficult. That's a very difficult question to answer, and it's true. It's very strange.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
for me, I just felt like, it was some sort of a connection there because, purgatory is talked about so much and so many different
That's true.
ways, and just for there not to be these types of older ghosts, maybe I don't know, maybe there is a heaven, maybe there's something else, but I obviously won't find out till I get there. But at least for the limbo state, I feel like it could be a type of purgatory.
That makes sense. I mean, it's possible. I went to Catholic school.
I
Do you
didn't.
believe me? No,
Yes.
I did. I actually went. I went into
I know
seventh
you
grade.
did.
I couldn't do the eighth grade over there. I just had to get out and go back to public school. I couldn't take it no
I
more
was a
with
public
all the
school
rules
girl.
and no, but it is good. And your thoughts on deja vu, where you felt like you've been somewhere.
I mean, I feel like I've had that before. I don't know. I'm not psychic. I would say I'm the sensitive, so I feel like it's kind of more connected to that. You were talking about dreams earlier in the show. One time I was younger and I had a dream that I was walking through this hotel. It wasn't dilapidated or anything. It had a turtle pond, and I was like, "Oh, this is cool. I get to walk through a hotel in a dream." So I was just enjoying it. I was like in fourth grade or something, so like 10. I didn't think twice about it. And then like a year later, we were driving up to my aunt's house and we stopped off for food at this hotel, and it was the exact same hotel down to the turtle pond. Was really strange, but they had really good crab cakes there. So I feel like it was just my like sensitivity to trying to lead me towards food because that's how useful I am. So I
Funny.
mean, I think it's just probably maybe deja vu is more of like a sensitivity thing or just kind of a natural defense skill. I mean, even though we're not in primitive times anymore, you can tell when someone's standing behind you. You can feel when someone's watching you. And those are kind of natural defense skills that haven't really evolved out of people. And I think that deja vu could just be, you know, people's natural instincts kicking in and kind of like a gut feeling telling you what could be coming up, even if it's just something simple and stupid, like a hotel with crab cakes, which isn't stupid if you tried them.
No, I know.
I can't believe you're only 22.
Thank you.
So let's talk about your show. You have an amazing show.
At
such a young age, which is, I mean, I've never, ever, ever.
You were 15 when you started?
No.
I was 12.
The show?
Yes.
12 years old?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
So
thank you.
I mean, I don't even know what to say. You're just doing such a great job. And you must love it. So how did this start?
So I mean, I told you about me living in a haunted house, and you know, those experiences really change you. Like I said, I stopped sleeping in my bedroom at one point. I'll tell you that story too, just really quickly. One night I was trying to go to sleep, and the ghost would normally stand in my doorway looking for me. I had a couch bed and a loft bed. And I would sleep on the couch bed because, you know, I was like 10. So I was like, ooh, fun couch bed. Like, that's super comfortable. So one time my mom, you know, wanted to change the bedding and it went back to a couch. And I slept on my loft bed and it was really high up to the ceiling. Like, if you weren't a kid, you would hit your head so hard. And I would see him standing in the doorway and I knew he couldn't find me up there. It was so relieving. And one night I was going to sleep. And he had climbed my loft bed ladder and was watching me from this far away. And I didn't tell anyone. And I don't know how I fell asleep that night. And I don't remember the exact timeline, but we had some psychics coming over to investigate our house. And I went to go tell my mom. I'm like, Mom, I have to tell you something. And she was like, not right now. We have guests over. So I grabbed her friend who's not an investigator or involved in the paranormal. And said, I have to tell you what happened to me. And my mom's friend pulled my mom aside and said, you have to hear what Sophia just told me. So only my mom, her friend, and I knew at this point. And a psychic walks past my room and goes, there's a man on that loft bed ladder. And that was the last night I had slept in that room. And just experiences like that really kind of change a person. But at a young age, it can be really scary and you want someone to be able to relate to. So I started thinking, you know, there has to be other kids out there like me who've had these experiences, you know, they also feel kind of alone in this. So I decided, you know, I would start a radio show and maybe I would be able to find other kids like me. I didn't, but I met, you know, so many great people through it and just learned so much. My first guest was Alexandra Holzer, Dr. Hans Holzer's daughter. And so I started at 12 just with the hopes of finding more people like me and instead just, you know, kind of became deeper into the field and getting to meet so many other great investigators. And 10 years later, here I am.
Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that it would be so amazing did you ever think it would be so big? Because you do have a really good show.
Thank you. My parents definitely didn't. I'm kind of stubborn. But like, I didn't stick with a lot of things. I tried to take like jujitsu when I was like 3, but everyone was like way older than me. So I just didn't stick with it. Tennis, I don't really like heat. So I didn't stick with that. So I didn't stick with like a lot of sports or anything. So when I told my parents, I'm like, I want a radio show. They're like, yeah, you're not going to stick with that. I'm like, no, I'm totally going to do a radio show. And at the time, Rob Sarek, the founder of LiveParanormal.com, had been asking my dad to be a radio host on there since he co-authored Heaven, Can You Hear Me? And after, you know, asking my parents a few times, he said, Rob, look, I do not want a show, but my 12-year-old daughter wants one. And they thought it would maybe stick with it a year. They're really happy, but also surprised that this is what stuck, not sports, like just radio, because that's kind of just random.
Well, they must be so proud of you. I mean, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely shocking to the family, but you know, it's been a lot of fun. They're super happy, you know, with all the people we've gotten to meet, all the things we've learned and stuff. So it's been a lot of fun. And I didn't think, I thought, you know, it would be hard with school in high school, but, here I am 10 years later. So I was surprised that I made it through kind of the bridge of high school, and my parents were surprised I made it past 1 year. They were really happy.
It's like with sports too. You know, if you really want something bad enough, you're going to make everything work so your parents will let you continue it. Because you know how parents are. School comes first. It's just like a sport, right? And you did. You made it work because you loved it.
Yeah. My parents were always helpful too in school, you know, so they always made sure that my grades weren't falling and I was also able to do this. I mean, you know, my dad's always booked the guests and tried to make it as easy as possible for me on weekends. And my mom, you know, anytime I've had to come on anything like today, she's actually a trained makeup artist. So she just helps me get ready. So it's really just been a family affair ever since I was little.
Wow. I wish I had one of those.
Yeah. I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky. I don't, like, a lot of people would be like, oh yeah, I do my makeup, because I mean, I do part of it, base it, but she does the eyeshadow and eyeliner, and I will never even attempt to take credit for it or pretend like not bring it up. Like, I'm just straight up like, yeah, my mom does my makeup, because she's good. I'm not gonna, why lie?
Hey, nothing, that's great.
Yeah, so shout out to my mom. She's listening. And I'm really looking
to shout out to your mom.
And your dad. I know they're both listening, and we love them.
And your dad. Yeah, they're good people.
Yes.
And I'm lucky, too, because my grandma's, like, really good at sewing. So, like, nights before events when I did Scarlet, we purchased a dress at the event. And the next day I was going back to do more interviews, and she had it hemmed and fitted to me in one night. So I've just really been lucky.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's great.
So in paranormal and the supernatural and the unknown, I'm sure you've had guests on and your thoughts as well on aliens, UFOs.
I don't know because I haven't like looked into it. I do think that there's more out there. I mean, why would in all of the galaxies it just be us? That'd be kind of lonely, kind of weird. So I do think there's more out there. I can't really explain UFOs, but, you know, I can't really explain ghosts either. So, you know, I'm not going to say, like, I haven't seen Bigfoot. I'm not going to say he's not real, but I'm also, you know, that photo from back in the day, I can't say that is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like something comes through in the veil.
Yeah.
That invisible curtain between this side and the other side. And the reason I ask you is because I noticed, like, a lot of the paranormal investigations and meeting a lot of people, some of the evidence that they capture is not from a spirit or a negative entity. It's something otherworldly. And that's why I was wondering if you had any thoughts, deeper thoughts on that, because some of these beings, I personally believe, there could be a communication. We've had Barry Strom on our show, and he's a man who's known in the paranormal field, but he says, look, whether you believe me or not, I can't communicate with these things, aliens, through my devices.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting sometimes whether it's something else coming through that could be otherworldly as well.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know, you know, humans have evolved over time, so who knows how far evolved other beings are, or if they're just haven't evolved and it's just kind of how they're born. You know, we send out radio signals trying to actually contact other life, but we don't know how other life forms would communicate, you know, telepathically through radio signals or, you know, whatnot. So it's hard to say. You know, I feel like I would need to do more research in it to kind of make like a solid decision, like, you know, my thoughts and theories on purgatory. But I'm not going to say aliens aren't real. I think that would be, you know, a disservice to all the other planets out there in galaxies, because there's obviously going to be something else on it. Water, plants, any type of life form. Because why would Earth be the only place with, you know, something else? It's just how many billions of light years away are those other beings?
Yeah, that's true. Time travelers, your thoughts?
I mean, I love conspiracy theories, so I find them super fascinating. Like the photos, they're like, is that person holding a cell phone? Is that an AirPod? I don't know. I mean, you have the mandala effect. Time travel could be a way to explain why there's kind of these shifts where people remember one thing, but it's not actually like that. Like the Berenstain Bears, I mean, they think it's spelled two different ways. Like, so I think it's interesting. I mean, if someone did time travel, would it affect, our memory? Would it not? So I think it's kind of one of those things, if it is out there, would we even remember or know?
Good answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know much about that. You
Yeah.
do.
Well, I think that in some of these hauntings, when we talk about residual energy and we talk about like people go to these locations from back in the day and they're communicating with the same people that lived there back in the 1700s. So I'm a believer in the afterlife. I'm a believer in reincarnation, heaven and hell. That's what I believe in. And then I always question, well, how come they didn't move on out of that spot? Are they coexisting in that same time? And there's been a lot of theories of the word yes, because sometimes these homes are remodeled, right? They're made out of condos and townhouses, where it was like an old Victorian, for example, and they split up into bi-level homes, and then there's a haunting going on, and then people like the investigators will go in and say, well, wait a second, we're getting people running up and down stairs, but stairs don't exist in the home. But they did exist back in the 1700s when it was an old Victorian. And that fascinates me. So that makes me question whether we're trying to change the scope of the reality of what really is and was, according to our time. It all goes down to time, right? Because again, I'm going to say we make up time. So if we make up time and there's no time on the other side, that means that anything is possible. Bigfoot, where there's a lot of pictures of Bigfoot, but they never captured Bigfoot, right? We have satellites in the sky and this technology. We can go, I mean, where can't we go? But we can't capture it through a satellite image, which means to me that yes, these things do exist. It's just that we can't comprehend through the consciousness of how. Our physics, everything that we have is not really there. Paranormal investigators are getting close
They
to
are.
understanding it. And that's one of the things, like it's a broad field. It's not just ghosts and
It's so
negative
true.
entities and those who've crossed over and the black-eyed children. Have you heard of the black-eyed children?
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about them. When I was like 14 and 15, I used to spend a lot of time on YouTube, like listening to people, like kind of the black-eyed children, the conspiracy theories, mandala effect, all of that. So, I mean, memory's a little hazy, but I spent like tons of time on that side of YouTube for like really like a good couple of years.
Yeah, we had on David
David
Weatherly,
Weatherly,
and he's a researcher in the black-eyed children. There's people that swear by them.
He's written books
Just
about
don't
these.
answer the door late at night when someone's knocking.
I wouldn't answer the
You
door if someone was knocking during the day.
don't want to
No, unless it's one of my family members, I don't care.
What's one of the locations you love to go to that you haven't been to, like the Winchester House? Have you been there?
No, I haven't been there. The my dream location, obviously, I would love to go to like Dracula's Castle. I used to want to go to Island of the Dolls, then I saw how many spiders there were, and I decided that wasn't an idea I wanted. I hate spiders. I
Burn it
really,
down. If there's a
I
spider in the house,
know.
burn it down.
You don't know. Sophia, he will call me.
I woke up with a baseball bat if there's a spider in my house. I mean, I put the
I
whole house on alert. I don't like them. They're just so creepy and ugly. It's
I
like there's
hate
an alert
spiders.
in my house. That's like a Fox
He'll
News alert.
see a ghost and be like, oh yeah, look, there's see, and then he'll be a spider. He'll call me. I'll be two floors away screaming. And I'm like, what's wrong? This spider, kill it. I'm the one who's killing spiders, not him.
They're intimidating looking. But anyway, about the spiders.
I saw Island of the Dolls on Destination Truth. I was like, wow, that place looks amazing. Ghost Adventures now. They showed all the spiders. And I was like, you know what? I'm so okay. So okay. But I would love to go to Alcatraz. I'm sure they have spiders too, but I haven't seen them. So I'm just going to pretend they're not there. My parents got to stay there back in, I think, 2009, and they didn't want to take me, which makes me very sad to this day. I know it's been like 12 years. I'm still devastated, and I like to remind them of that too, because the Boy Scouts do spend the night there, and I feel like I could have been one of them, just kind of vibing out. But that's still my dream location. I play Call of Duty too. I gotta see if Mob of the Dead looks like Alcatraz in real life.
We're having a very bad storm here, so our dog's barking, so please
Oh yeah, all
ignore
of a
him.
sudden I'm on the
It's
show, and all of a
bad.
sudden it's like the end of the world
It's
outside
done to
in Pennsylvania. I don't know what's going on out there. I'm afraid to look out there. So if we
I have
float away,
four
we're just going
dogs.
to continue with the show anyway.
I have four
So
dogs. I totally
I
get it.
apologize for the
But
dog
anyway,
barking.
the Winchester home is something that I also find fascinating.
Yes. That is a story, a
Entrances
whole
and
nother.
exits that go to absolutely nowhere, and the thought and creation behind
I
it.
wish we can go there. I would
Yeah.
love it.
Yeah, I'd love
I
to go to like Poveglia Island too. I just think that looks super cool. I saw that on Ghost Adventures like a while ago, and I was like, that looks really fun.
don't know if they would allow it, but I really believe that if I don't think they would allow it, but I think it'd be fascinating for any paranormal investigator if they get inside the pyramid
Oh yeah.
and do an
I don't
investigation.
think
Because
we'll
the pyramid, think about the energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be amazing. That would be
I
mind-blowing.
don't
But I
think
don't think
any
they're
I don't think anyone will ever get in there like that, but
that would be
it
fascinating.
would be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's so many locations like that too. I mean, the White House, there's been reports of ghosts there. Disneyland, people have scattered the ashes of their children on their favorite rides. Actual deaths at Disneyland too. So I mean, it stands to believe there might be some hauntings there, but Disneyland's not gonna really want that. They have the Haunted Mansion, but that's like kind of where they draw the limit.
Yeah.
Yeah, certain locations, they're just against it and
Yeah.
they don't want to have any part of it.
So, out of all the locations that you have investigated, what is one that really left a mark on you and really got you scared?
Honestly, the Queen Mary. I mean, the night I investigated with Ghost Adventures, the Shadow Man, he was very intense. And I had really wanted to say, the Shadow Man is here to the Ghost Adventures crew. And every time I wanted to bring it up, I felt like he was kind of stopping me from saying that. And then the next time I went in the pool area, I just felt like something bad was going to happen if we stayed there. And I really haven't been in back in the pool area since. He just really kind of left a bad taste in my mouth after that night. And he's just one of those ghosts, He doesn't want to be
Yeah.
around me, and I don't want to be around him either.
Yeah.
I love
Wow.
investigating, but I kind of try and stay away from darker stuff because I live
Yeah.
in a haunted house, so I just feel like,
Yeah.
I
It
just.
brings back those memories
Have you
and
ever done any residential cases?
No, I really try and stay away from those just from the fact, I'm still young. I'm still trying to figure out life. And I think when you're dealing with something, my parents not knowing how to help their 9-year-old child or a child going through this, although I could relate to someone like that, I think there's a lot more that goes with residential, whether someone has a mental illness, like my grandfather, but
Yeah.
also my house was haunted. So was the haunting messing with his mental illness too? He used to guard the Pope in Vatican City. So he was very angels and demons. And I think that the spirit might have preyed on that. And so I think there's a lot more that goes along with it, is your mental
Yes.
illness and also just the
You're right.
sensitivity of the matter. And being someone who's still trying to figure out, my own life, I'm not sure I have the life skills to be able to help someone like that. And I think, if you
Answer.
help someone, you have to make sure that you're the right person to do that and you're at the right place in life to, be able to help them instead of just walking in there confused, like, I'm not sure how to handle this situation. Because that doesn't help you or anyone involved.
Yeah, well,
No,
that's a very
yeah.
responsible answer. Yep.
Thank you.
But I hear a lot about this Queen Mary. Noreen from Paranormal Zone TV, she
Yeah.
was there. She was like saying, "This is it's incredible."
Wow. Well, maybe we'll get to go one day.
Yeah. So what else is on your bucket list? You have a great radio show. You've been on air a long time, and you've been to these locations. In paranormal, what would be on your bucket list? Not only to
Yeah.
go to, but what would you want to achieve? Maybe to show and tell people the realism of the other existence that we don't know about.
I mean, for me, obviously, I would love to go to like Alcatraz, Pabbega-Leav Island, Dracula's Castle. I mean, any of the prisons, places back east. I have a real fascination with kind of old Hollywood. I think it's really a time that can't be recreated. So I would love to investigate like the Roosevelt Hotel and just areas kind of around there. But as for what I want to achieve in the field, I just kind of want, to take the taboo away from it. I think in the recent years, that's become, more of a reality with YouTube videos, TikTok, TV shows like Ghost Adventures, Destination Fear, Ghost Hunters. But I just want, if someone has an experience like a young child, if their parents don't believe them, that they're not going to go to school and bring it up and be shunned for it. I think that if there's more openness to the idea of the paranormal, it would help more for people who are going through it, or if they have an interest in it, they're not looked at as weird. It's just another part of life, and someone just wanting to explore it should be allowed. Obviously do it respectfully, but I just want, it to be just m more of an open field. And I'm happy to say I think that's happened recently.
Good. That's really good.
Great.
And your thoughts on something that we don't recommend, the Ouija board?
Yeah, I mean, I really haven't worked with the Ouija board at all. Like I like touched it once. I have one in my room and I don't play with it. It's just there for decoration. So I don't, some people say, if you use it responsibly, that it's fine. Some people say don't touch it at all. I honestly don't know who to believe in that debate, because I haven't experienced it myself. But again, if there is a right way to use it and I'm not doing it right, then I'm just kind of messing it up. So I think that that's really a question to be answered by the people that really want to dive deep and, take the good with the bad, either, figuring out how to use it right and use it
You're
for
right.
good, another way of communication, or, risking
You're
it and
right.
also opening something up.
You have to be able to really know how to close it the proper way, and I think that's what a lot of people are running into that problem. You
That was
really,
one of my things back in the
you
80s.
gotta
I didn't
go.
believe in it, but then again, the unknown comes through and it's like, wait a
Well,
second.
it's
And I
the
was a
intent.
teenager dealing with that,
Yeah.
and unfortunately, you open up a door that,
It's the intent that you're
yeah,
using when you're playing
may
with
not
that thing.
close.
Yeah, my friend, she said she used Ouija boards with her friend when they were younger, like high school, middle school, and she said, bad things happened. So I mean, she hasn't had things since, but she said she would never do it again. So I don't see there's any reason why a Ouija board wouldn't work. It's just kind of one of those strange things you can go into Target and buy it. But I think it's just really one of those things, is there a way to use it right, or is it just kind of, like they say goodbye, but why would a ghost listen to that? I think, it's just kind
Yeah,
of up to the
that's
spirit.
true.
That's true. Like you're saying goodbye. Why would a spirit say goodbye?
Yeah,
I always said
they're
that.
not going to say
I
goodbye.
always said, okay, you think it's over now? So where'd the spirit go? They're walking away to go to another house? They're going to haunt another house because it says goodbye?
I
Well, you
mean, I
psychosomatically
feel
saying
bad
goodbye on the
laughing
board,
because
but it's true.
it's a real serious thing, but it is funny.
Goodbye. Oh, goodbye. See you later. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to go to your next room and haunt your other family members.
Yeah, I think that's
Yeah.
the thing with
Yeah.
investigating. Like, I'm not psychic, I'm sensitive, but I always say if a ghost wants me to know it's there, it will let me. And I think it's really up to the spirit whether you get anything or nothing, or if they stay or don't stay.
Yes. Well, Sophia, we're coming to the end of the show, and we want to thank you so much for coming on. You have been a pleasure.
I mean, really, for your age
You're,
and your experience, I'm blown away.
she's awesome.
Because you have a lot of knowledge under your belt. And I'd like to see somebody like you maybe in the future have your own TV show
I
out
would
there.
too.
Because,
I would watch it.
and the reason I'm saying that is because you speak intelligently, you have the
Yes.
knowledge. And a lot of these shows should be about the learning curve
Yes.
without the fluff.
Yes.
I'm a realism. If it's not there, it's not there, period. That's if
She
you're going to
should,
get it, you're going to
yeah.
get it, right? And that's the only way you could be respected is if it's real, it's real. If it's not, there's a question mark. We don't know what it is. We don't know if it can be debunked or not. My home has been haunted. People always questioned it, and that's why I had over 50 paranormal teams, with the last being what, like NESPR, then another one. I say, look, my walls don't bleed, my pictures don't fly off the walls. And it doesn't happen here. Maybe it does in other locations. But the shadow person, the voices, the whispers, oh, that does happen on a scale to 10, 1 to 10, number 10. So if you can bring out the facts, and a lot of people still may question it, does it exist? Yes. Do we coexist somehow? Yes. And are they completely gone when they say goodbye on a Ouija board or you're closing a session? I'm not a believer in that. I believe that maybe they're just going back into their dimension if they want to. If they're not done, you'll know they're not done because that's where possibly an attachment happens and they tag along. And I've seen that. And people in different states that would come to my home, and they would go home in West Virginia or Florida, and they're like, this thing's following me. And I didn't, I questioned it because I didn't believe in it, that spirits would do that. But they do. I
So
was at the I was in Virginia at St. Albans, and that's 7.5 hours away. And when I came back, this thing was in my house, one of the kids from St. Albans.
Oh,
And
wow.
I felt the energy, and my youngest son's like, Dad, there's something here that's never been here before. And it's crazy. It's like the spirits know where to go, who to hang out
We have to
with,
end the show. We're gonna get in trouble.
and all that stuff. It's I know we can go off like another hour here,
Well,
but it is fascinating.
where
We
could
definitely
be?
need to do a part two with
Yes.
you.
Yes, I'm just gonna say that. We'll do a part two. Where can people find you and what do you have coming up next?
Okay, well, first off, I would love to be back on. Second off, you can find me on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli, Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L, Facebook Sophia Temporelli, shockingly. And yeah, I will be coming up November 10th, back on Paranormal and History. You can check that out on Facebook. And yeah, thank you again so much. Oh, I will also be a part of a house homecoming on the 31st. I did an interview with
Wow.
Cody Despience and Satori Hawes. That's pre-recorded, but you can check it out. Go to thedarkzone.tv.
Thank
Awesome. And
you.
let's give your parents a shout out. Go
Yes.
ahead and say their names.
Okay.
Oasis is a great girl.
Shout out to my dad, John. Thank you for finally believing me. Shout out to my mom, Shirley. She's literally the rock of the family. And I want to shout out my grandma because she's an absolute legend. I tell her every day.
Awesome.
Aw, she's so nice.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming
I
on. Yeah.
need a kid like you. All right. Thank you, Sophia. Have a great night.
Thank you so much.
We also want to have a special thank you to Carnation for fully sponsoring the show. We love them. Please join us next Monday night on the United Public Radio Network on 105.3 FM from New Orleans. And stay tuned for the amazing Laura Lee Houghton on the for the Angel Rock. So thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night. Be
Thank you.
safe,
Bye,
and we'll
Sophia.
see you
Bye.
soon.
Thank
Bye-bye.
you.